Spangle and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, taking you up until 1 o'clock, just a two-hour program for me and Megan. We haven't had one of these in quite a long time.
I know. It's kind of wild.
It's
I feel
nuts.
Like we had a long stretch of four-hour shows on Saturdays.
That's what happens when Curtis takes like a month off from work.
Well, the big one was when we did 4th of July on a Friday, and then we did 4 hours of radio the next morning, and there
Saturday.
Was nothing to talk about, and that's when we played... Is this an old-timey serial killer or an old-timey baseball player?
Yeah, that was a great game, by the way. Yeah, excellent game. Jacob was there.
Yeah,
it was
Jacob
a great.
Played.
Yeah, it was a great time. I think you did an excellent job with that.
And now, all of a sudden, summer's over for me. I'm just at training camp every
now
day.
Now we're back to work.
Just sweating in parts of my body that I didn't know could sweat.
So I got to ask you, since you have been at training camp every day, the one big thing on both sides, the one thing that has surprised you in a positive manner and the one big thing that has surprised you in a negative manner. I know I'm springing this on you kind of spur of the moment, but I just thought of it. Your one big positive takeaway, your one big negative takeaway so far from, I believe it's been 9 days of training camp.
I'd say my positive takeaway is that I'm surprised at the lack of drama. That there hasn't been. Usually training camp, you get a little bit drama here or
there.
Last
year, we got the Matthew Judon yelling at the coaches
it's
thing.
It's really been no drama. And I think we were sold that with Mike Vrabel, that he's not a drama, like he doesn't stand for that crap.
Sure.
For the most part. And that they're turning over a new leaf and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a little bit more like Belichick than it was like Mayo.
Professional organization.
Swung too far in the other direction. But I thought that there would be, at least like once the pads came on and those days were really hot, I thought it would get a little chippier on the field than it has. Now, maybe that will happen when you see the Commanders in Minnesota from another team, but usually you get a little something-something between two guys. Hey, somebody's hitting a little hard.
Yeah.
Somebody's being obnoxious. You know, Kobe Miner was out there talking a lot of smack in the first day in pads, but everybody was just kind of like, okay, Mr. Irrelevant.
All right,
like,
dude.
nice to hear, you know, whatever. We like the attitude. So I think that is probably the biggest positive surprise, and
okay.
That's kind of an overwhelming one. I don't know that there's a big negative surprise. I guess I'd have to say Carlton Davis's lack of participation.
Interesting.
I know that he's like been snake bitten in the past with his injuries, and so I think they're being very preventative and they're being very careful with him, but it's a lot of maintenance. It's a lot of maintenance for a 28-year-old corner.
Well, and especially at the beginning of it, you weren't really sure what was going on until four or five that Vrabel finally said, yeah, we have like a plan for him that he's working on. And that's when you kind of finally were able to be like, okay, so like this isn't an issue between him and the team.
No.
It's more so just him personally.
Right. And for him, I think that they, as you just said, have a plan about keeping him healthy, but he really has not been a participant. Like, the days that he's been out there, it's either been two walkthroughs or shorts and shells. So I think when you have Christian Gonzalez on the other side with a soft tissue injury, and you're trying to say that our cornerbacks are supposed to be on paper the best position group on the team.
By far.
It's a little concerning to have not seen him at all through a couple weeks of camp now.
Interesting. Okay, so I guess heading into camp, my biggest concern, my biggest question mark was the offensive line. I know that after the first couple days, Hart was saying it was worse than last year.
Okay,
Tom Carter was saying it was better.
Yeah, I'm not going to go as far as it's worse than last year.
So I know there's been a lot of positivity about Jared Wilson, which I love. I think that's great. I would love to see him start at left guard.
Got worked a little bit last
night. I don't love to hear that. But let me get your perspective so far, what you've seen from the offensive line thus far through training camp.
Look, I'm not Doug Marrone. I'm not going to pretend like I know every technique that an offensive lineman uses.
Just what you see with your eyes. Eyes test.
Through my binocs.
Yeah,
what
binocs.
I've seen. I mean, the biggest takeaway is the roller coaster for Will Campbell.
Ugh.
And I think a lot of it is that I think back to what we heard about him going into the draft with the arm length and all that stuff. Well, he has the technique and he has the right mindset to apply all this, and he has a real shot at being a tackle. And I think that they've left themselves without any other option.
Yeah.
He's taking every starting rep at left tackle, every rep, because they need to get him out there in week one. And so it's a little painful at times because they have to get him ready. They got nobody else. They got Vidarian Lowe, who's on the PUP list. And other than that, they have like a seventh round other rookie tackle.
Slide DeMontre Jacobs over from right tackle.
He's got to be, you talk about maintenance plans. Morgan Moses is on a maintenance plan because he's in his mid-30s,
yeah.
Which is fine. I understand, like, health is the priority. And with a vet like Morgan Moses, it's fine. He doesn't need to be in there every rep of training camp, but he could get injured. And you do have at least Jacobs back there, and he's rotating, getting the reps through so that he's ready. With left tackle, like, it's kind of, I don't want to be jumping the gun on this because Will Campbell could be ready to go week one and look really good from the jump. There's still that possibility. But this is what we were afraid of, that the only answer you could find at left tackle would be through this draft. And the draft pick is just thrown in the deep end, and it's sink or swim.
And especially because, too, there's a couple other guys that were drafted right behind him that can definitely play left tackle that might just be outright better to start the season. Like, they might just be better, and you're going to immediately have regret. And if that's the case, it is going to look horrible. Because right now, Will Campbell's been a roller coaster. You can't say for certain whether he's going to be good or bad. We don't know. Jared Wilson, I would say arrow pointing up, which is great. Could be your opening day starter at
left
guard. But
also wasn't the plan.
No,
like,
was not the plan.
It feels like they kind of fell into that and got into training camp.
They got lucky.
Once the pads came on, I'm not going to say they got lucky because they did draft the guy. They did scout the guy.
Fair.
But once they get into training camp, they're looking at it and going like, holy crap, this guy's good.
Yeah. He's way better than Cole Strange, which I love to hear. Garrett Bradbury, to me, he's also kind of on a maintenance plan. That, to me,
injured.
Injured, question mark. The only person we haven't talked about yet, Mike Onwenu. I know before training camp, what was it, mini camp, like a month or so ago, you saw him and you go, oh boy.
He slimmed down a lot.
Good. Okay. Yeah,
so
that's good.
That's one other indicator, I'd say. I know there's been, I've heard a lot of different conversations about, have people overrated the Patriots and how much of that has to do with just the excitement about Mike Vrabel not being Jerod Mayo.
A lot of it.
And that, hey, everybody's like overinflating this team because of the Mike Vrabel part. I will say this. Multiple guys on that roster came to camp in better shape than I've ever seen them. And those
That's
are important
good.
Guys. Mike Onwenu, Ramondre Stevenson, totally slimmed down.
Ooh, interesting.
And
okay.
Christian Barmore. I think he said he lost over 10
pounds.
When
he was dealing with his medical issues.
But was in good shape.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, oh, he lost muscle and all this stuff from.
Yeah.
No, he looks fit. And I'm like, I wonder, you know, we heard a lot from Mike Vrabel about the importance of those 5 weeks of conditioning. And if you didn't hear about it, maybe ask Ben Volen, because he asked that question twice.
Yes, he did.
So after Tom Curran asked it. So we got that answer a couple times.
I don't know if you were just texting
that
or tweeting
was like
or whatever.
The beautiful kickoff to camp.
Oh, God,
it was like,
Vrabel.
Now we're ready. Now we go. But yeah, so I don't know. With the offensive line, I think you probably went, as we sit here today, you went from being the 29th, 30th best offensive line to probably like the 26th.
See,
you're
I was hoping for a little bit more of a bigger
you're
jump.
Definitely a bottom 10 offensive line.
That's not good. Like, and so, and I deal with this on a daily basis now of dealing with Curtis and Wiggy, who say it's a failure of a season if you don't get 9 wins.
Well, they're like, also mad at you. Did you hear driving in?
No.
Curtis is mad at you.
For what?
He says that you, or it might have been Ken. I can't remember. But they were in agreement on this.
Of course
that
they were.
You are so in love with Drake May, but you already are giving him all the excuses to have a completely average season.
And this is the issue, is they claim it's excuses.
And that Josh McDaniels is already your fall guy that you've chosen.
No, I've said it explicitly that if there's a reason why Drake May struggles this year, it's the offensive line. I've said it 100 times, I'll say it 100 more. And their issue is that they think that I'm making excuses when in reality, I'm actually just being realistic. I think if this team wins less than 7 games, it is a failure. I've said it all along. If you win 6 or less, absolute failure. Complete and utter failure. If you win 7 games, which is basically double what you did last year, because that Bills game was just a giveaway, that is a good step in the right direction, because this roster is not as good as people think it is.
No, it's
they
not.
I keep hearing every day, well, Mike Vrabel's better, the offensive line's better, the weapons
the
are better,
only,
the defense
the
is better.
The only elite room is the corners, and they're both hurt right now.
Yes. And
or on a maintenance plan.
And they tell me the offensive line is better, and I don't even know. I don't know how many games Morgan Moses is going to play. I don't know how many games Garrett Bradbury is going to play. It seems like you might have struck, maybe, hopefully, praise God, you struck gold with Jared Wilson. But then you, Will Campbell's been a total roller coaster. And then Mike Onwenu was originally overweight, but looks more fit, so maybe he'll still be a good right guard.
And by the way, they're already on Ben Brown.
Yes, at center.
With the ones. Like, do you know what that means? Like, they went to Garrett Bradbury. They can't have Cole Strange there. And now they're with Ben Brown. At least Ben Brown is snapping the ball correctly. Yeah. There was a fumbled snap in three different days of practice from different guys. Didn't matter if it was it. So maybe that could be the common denominator being Drake for all I know. Like, some of these snaps are super high.
Well, like, he didn't fumble a snap last year at all.
He fumbled a snap in preseason.
Okay, but like during the regular season, the games Drake started, I cannot recall a single fumbled snap.
But think about it this way.
Maybe
with your
one.
Offensive line, you are already at the plan C that you brought in midway through the season last year.
Bingo.
because David Andrews was out and you didn't know what to do at center. You're already there. We just turned the calendar over to August.
And then you look at that defense that's supposed to be better, and they think it's going to be like a top 10 defense. Well, your best player on your entire team is hurt, and we may not see again until week one at this point. Carlton Davis, as you have pointed out, has been a massive question mark. He's on some kind of maintenance plan. We don't really know what that's about. The defensive line, I'm glad to see Christian Barmore's in great shape, and hopefully he has a great season, but he is still a question mark coming
He's
off of what he has dealt with.
He's still on a maintenance plan, too.
Yeah, and then it's like Milton Williams is a guy you want to project to be fantastic, but again, only played, 47% of the snaps with the Eagles defense, or 53, it's one of the two. It was just about 50% of the snaps. So, like, again, a guy you're projecting, but you don't, it's still kind of a question mark. Harold Landry is a good pass rusher, getting older, not exactly your T.J. Watt, Micah Parsons level pass rusher, but a good player.
Ooh, why don't you go get a Micah Parsons?
We'll get into that coming up. I do want to ask you about the two guys that are clear.
The NFC East
trade
is so stupid.
Yes, they are. But like, I look at this team and everybody is so confident that every group of this team is better. And outside of coaching, I can't say with 100% confidence that every single position group is going to be better. I can't.
Is quarterback going to be better?
I think so. Yes. I think Drake May will take a step in the right direction. But like, I mean, he was in there last year. Like, I kind of, that's more of a progression step than it is a, this group is just straight up better.
I do just think that when you say the downfall of Drake May is going to be the offensive line, and you give that as a reason, not an excuse, but as a reason, I do think, okay, a couple weeks ago you said that you thought that Drake May was akin to Aaron Rodgers in what
he
could
be
on the field.
Yeah.
So
that 2011 Packers team had like a phenomenal offensive line.
Why can't he be Joe Burrow, who was able to overcome his offensive line year after year, even
Very
though last
players.
Year they sucked because their defense was so incompetent.
Yeah, look,
I'm saying, but like a quarterback, their quarterbacks can overcome their offensive line play.
Sort
to
of.
An extent.
I mean, he didn't make the playoffs.
He went to the Super Bowl with a dreadful offensive
That's
line.
True. He did get sacked 50 times that season. That's absolutely true. But
like, it's not the plan
also,
you want,
no,
but it's possible.
But he also has Jamar Chase and T. Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have a T. Higgins on this team.
Well, what
I
if you
like
had
Stephon
a Diggs and a McLaurin?
That's a step in the right direction. But again, you would have to go out and acquire. If they go out and acquire Terry McLaurin or Micah Parsons in the next week, then I'm like, okay, we're cooking. Let's go to Alex in New Hampshire. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, what you're saying is just pure facts. It's just being realistic as far as 7, 8, 9 is like the ceiling as far as wins go for this team. And when I listen to the Greg Hill Show in the morning, it kind of aggravates me when Curtis looks at the schedule and says, that's an easy win, that's an easy win. He doesn't look at it in terms of other teams looking at us like, oh, those are just the Patriots. That's an easy win. So just got to stay humble, eat our humble pie like we used to. And yes, 7 wins is progress.
Thanks for the call, Alex. Yeah, like, it's one of the things that infuriates me because Curtis will go to the schedule and week one against the Raiders. Oh, that's a win. The Raiders are better. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if you've been paying attention, but they got the best running back in the draft in Ashton Jeanty. They got a legitimate quarterback in Geno Smith who diced up your ass last year. And they have an actual football coach. Yeah, gross. Actual football coach in Pete Carroll, just like how you went out and got Mike Vrabel. It's the exact same situation. I don't understand how you can say, oh, and by the way, they have a superstar Max Crosby. Like, that's a big difference that you don't have.
Yeah, I think you could very easily lose that opening game.
100%.
Like, 100% possible. And I truly think the first five games of the season are all losable. And I don't say that to be, like, a downer. They should not lose all five games. But to just sit here and go, the schedule is so soft. The schedule is so soft.
That's what I'm saying.
You were terrible last year and the year before. Like, bingo. You had a pit to crawl out of. And you had to do so. When I think about the offensive line, I'll just put a bow on it with this. Because you had to do so much work just to maybe get your offensive line above three or four other teams in terms of how dreadful they are. And you did so much work, and I still don't think you're an average offensive line.
That's
like, that's
so
how bad you were. That's how bad. I think
you just
we
had
need
to get
face
to 20th,
facts.
And you,
like,
can't even get there.
If you want to look on the upside, the defense, I think, is going to be really good. I think they're going to be a top 10 defense. The quarterback is extremely exciting, and we'll get into how he's looked in camp and how he looked last night, and I feel great about Drake May. The offensive line is still pretty ghastly.
617-779-7937. Mego and Scheim here. Full football hour from us, taking you up until 1 o'clock when Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring hits the air. We will get to Drake May, what we can expect from Drake May heading into year two, heading into year two's first preseason game, only 6 days away against Mego's Washington Commanders. We'll also get into the idea of trading for a guy like Micah Parsons or Terry McLaurin or even a guy like Trey Hendrickson. We'll talk about all that coming up, but right now, Jacob is going to get you caught up with what is trending. That was Drake May after training camp practice 2 days ago now. Mego and Scheim here on WEEI talking Pats for you here up until 1 o'clock when Rob Bradford and the Baseball Isn't Boring program takes over ahead of the Red Sox game this afternoon against the Astros. 4:10 first pitch right here on the Charleston Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Mego, I thought that quote from Drake May was exactly what you want to hear, because I think he's right. I think in a lot of situations, especially last year too, I know he was talking about his freshman year at UNC. A lot of times last year, he was kind of just like a loose cannon running. He was just, it was one read, not there, let's run, try and get some positive yards. This year, it's much more about looking, finding your reads, and, you know, when you need it, those third and threes, those goal line situations, fourth down, like, that's when, you know, I'm 6'5", 230 pounds, go get it.
Have you ever heard comments from Drake May that weren't exactly what you wanted to hear?
Yeah. You know, maybe not, but like, I think it's the right mentality to have, right? Like, I think it's
right.
It's
I
what
get
you
what you're
want.
Saying. I think Drake has had a great training camp so far. We had fun with the other day that he had made it through 6 practices without throwing an interception.
Yep.
And then last night he threw 2 in the in stadium.
So
practice.
I would just like to ask, and I'm not trying to make excuses as other people would say, I just want some clarity on the situations. I read via a tweet, one of them went off Stephon Diggs'
deflected
hands.
Deflected off Diggs' hands.
Okay. And then the second one was probably a miscommunication with Kyle Williams, correct? No?
Always hard to know.
Okay.
I think that that is like a safe assumption to make off of the play, but without knowing the play design and who was supposed to be where, it's kind of a conclusion to jump to.
Fair enough. All right. I just wanted some
once
clarity.
Once again,
you know?
It just seems like you're looking for other people to blame,
nope,
that are
I
not
think,
Drake May for his interceptions.
No, I just think that it is important that there is context to the way in which we are approaching the Patriots. I've even said this about the upcoming season, because if they, like, ultimately you have to see the entire season for what it is, because if Drake May has a really good season but the Patriots are unable to win football games, you can't then punish Drake May even though he's doing his job and they're just
no that would
unable
be like
win
Joe Burrow
games.
Last season
exactly so like you all I'm saying is just we just have to take everything with context. We can't just read one thing, oh, Drake May threw 2 interceptions, and think, oh, Drake May sucks.
I'm not bothered by the interceptions last night. There is a point, the whole setup of the scrimmage was weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Because they basically had Josh Dobbs as the quarterback for this other team, and they split both sides of the ball into 2 squads and had this really confusing scoring system that nobody cared about. We were just trying to see play by play how different connections went. And, you know, it's not like they were tackling to the ground or anything like that. Kendrick Bourne got banged up.
Ooh.
So he left the field banged up, and I think Will Campbell seemed to suffer a very minor injury. I wouldn't even say injury.
Matt Collins participate in the scrimmage?
No.
I know he did in the walkthrough the day before.
Yeah, but that was a literal walkthrough. I mean, the way that I saw some people jump into conclusions about Matt Collins could be used this way and that way, I'm going, he was walking on the field in in a t-shirt.
He hasn't taken a legitimate rep yet.
Not at all. And I like, again, I like Mac Hollins. He's from Montgomery County, Maryland. Shout out. And Moco, what's up?
Man, we got a couple Maryland guys on the
ball. We do. We have a couple Moco guys on this team in the wide receiver room.
Love to hear that.
And they're probably two of your better ones. Definitely in Steph Diggs. Yep. But yeah, okay. So to me, like the biggest part of that is just Mac Hollins is off the PUP list. Who's going to go now? And another heartbreaking moment for me personally was a perfect ball from Drake May to Efton Chisholm on a crossing route in the stadium last night. And dude just wide open dropped it.
Oh, this is when you texted me. You were like, son of a gun.
I texted you because I'm very much a believer of, you know, you don't cheer in the press box. You don't do, if you've ever been in a press box, it's the worst way to watch a game.
I've made that mistake before.
What, you were in the press, you cheered in the press box, Jacob?
Very loudly, yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, were you in Fenway?
At BC.
Oh, okay. Because there's certain press boxes where it's more frowned upon than others. Mm-hmm. I would imagine at Fenway, you would get like, they would basically carry you out of there. They would throw you out the window. But yeah, the Patriots press box is dreadfully boring. And I just shouted like, F'den! Can't have it. Can't have it. That's my guy.
And yes,
I love him. And it was, the one thing about him is that he doesn't drop the freaking ball. And he dropped the freaking ball in front of everybody in the middle of the stadium and made me look like a real dork.
I know we talked about it a while ago when you did your research on Efton Chisholm and wrote about him.
I wrote a feature.
You did write a feature about Efton Chisholm. Do you expect he'll actually make the roster?
I think he'll be a P-squatter.
Okay.
That sounds horrible. Practice squatter. Because it sounded like squatter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll be on the P squad.
Okay.
Maybe it's just what's best for him to go through this. He hasn't had the high level reps in training camp so far, and they are moving into joint practices now. They've really got to figure out the chemistry and who those four guys are that are going to have meaningful time on the field. They did have him. Nobody cares about Efton Chisholm this much, but I'm just going to go for
it. No, but it is representative of the crowded wide receiver room.
He did have a great kickoff return. They've had him
special
with the kickoff.
Teamer. Love that.
And punt return crew at practice. I think that's fair to report. And he had a lovely kickoff return that got some hype from Jeremy Springer and other coaches. So I was happy to see that.
Has Pop Douglas been as good as people claim he has been in your
practice
eyes?
Or in special teams?
In practice.
Yeah, I think he's been solid. Again, it's very early. Like we've had three padded practices.
Yeah.
And so two of those were red zone work almost the entire day and low red zone work. That was the day when it was reported that Drake, if you look at the numbers, Drake was like 3 of 9. It's like, okay, we're in like crushed up in the red zone. Like he was sailing some passes and it wasn't great for him. The accuracy was not solid, but it also benefited the defense, what they were doing greatly.
Yeah.
So that's where with like the practice stats. But if you're asking about Pop, I'd say right now Pop is solidly your second best receiver.
That sounds about right. And you need him to be. The way there just isn't a ton of talent in this receiver room. And so you need him and Diggs to have successful seasons in order for this offense to be productive.
Yeah. I think right now, if you asked me who's on this roster from the wide receivers, Diggs, Pop, Williams, Hollins, because you have guaranteed money for him.
Yep.
And then maybe Booty. I think that they are much higher on Booty than other people are.
So if Mac Hollins, will Mac Hollins at this point, do you think he'll still start the season on Pup, or do you think he'll be ready for week one?
I think they're trying to get him ready for week one.
Okay. Interesting.
He was wearing shoes the other day. I felt like that was
feet
a big
prisons.
Indicator.
He hates those.
Yeah, but he shows that he's getting back to work.
That's
you
true.
Know?
If he makes that sacrifice
and
for his teammates.
He's been there every day.
Yeah.
He's been rehabbing and working the bike and like all the stuff that he's supposed to be doing. It's not like he's out, you know, in South Beach or something.
True. TC, my guy TC in the car wants to talk about the Pats. What's up, TC?
What's up, buddy? I'm going to keep it nice and calm. My
Love
kid
it.
Just fell asleep, and anyone knows that if you got an animal like him, yeah, when they sleep, it's gold. So, but I do want to I want to thank Mego. You just said something coming into the segment. Shyam started off by saying, you know, if May has a good season, you can't blame him. And then Mego said, yeah, like Joe Burrow last year. And Shyam said, yeah, chime. You asked me the other day when you guys had to leave, did Joe Burrow make the playoffs last year?
No, he didn't.
Joe, he did not. But it wasn't his fault. Joe Burrow's made a Super Bowl. Your boy Lamar hasn't, and I highly doubt he will. And he's got plenty of firepower over there. But hold on just 1 second. You got to take it easy when you go crazy about Lamar and winning MVPs. MVPs don't mean much, bud. Tom Brady won MVPs, but he also won Super Bowls. That counts.
Hold on.
So when you go crazy about... Yes, go ahead.
TC, do you think Dan Marino is...
Dan was ready to blame everyone else but him.
Okay. All right.
Now, Joe Burrow...
He's still one of the most talented quarterbacks we've ever played.
Yeah, that's fine, but he's never won. That counts. You have to understand that about your buddy Lamar.
I understand that it counts, but like you say it about Joe Burrow, like he has won, TC. Like he made a Super Bowl. Sure,
buddy,
he did.
He's made it farther than your buddy Lamar, so you got to at least put him on the
once,
level.
Once. Yeah, hold on.
Lamar's
once.
Lamar's done it zero, buddy. Zero. Doesn't that mean anything?
Of course, it means something,
zero.
TC. But when you
he
take
a big team every year,
it can't be the only thing. You have to take everything into consideration.
Buddy, the sample size is plenty. He's made the playoffs enough, and he's never won.
Do you know how many times has Joe Burrow made the playoffs?
I don't care.
Twice.
He made a Super Bowl.
Twice.
Than Lamar Jackson.
He has been in.
But what if he made it the one Super Bowl and he won it? Let's just say he won it and he made it one time. That's one Super Bowl he's won.
So does
Lamar
that mean
could make it every year?
So does that mean Jalen Hurts is better than Joe Burrow? Hold on. No. By your standards, does that mean Jalen Hurts is better than Joe Burrow?
No. This is my standards, my man.
You said it matters.
I'm not talking about Jalen Hurts.
But
it matters when you're talking about Lamar Jackson versus Joe Burrow. When I say Joe Burrow is a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson, you cannot discount that the way you do.
Yes, I
That's
can.
That's all I'm saying.
Be Burrow. Answer the question.
You know what? I'm biased. I like Burrow. I pick Burrow over
Lamar.
That's
fair. That's a fair explanation.
That's fine.
You like Burrow.
TC, I love you, and I appreciate you having a level-headed conversation with me today. No yelling. Look at us. We're adults. We're good at it. But, like, that's the thing. You can't – if you like Joe Burrow, then just say you like Joe Burrow. That's fine. But you can't just, like, throw at me this stuff that he's better than Lamar Jackson because he won one AFC championship game, but then immediately in the moments after say he's – better than Jalen Hurts, even though Jalen Hurts has won a Super Bowl. Like, it's just, we had this argument on the Greg Hill show the other day because TC is very unhappy with the way I believe Lamar is arguably the most talented quarterback in football. And I take kind of Patrick Mahomes out of it because he's different. But, like, Lamar Jackson is, outside of Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in football, in my opinion. I think he is by far and away the best quarterback.
I think last year proves he's pretty neck and neck with Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of 1A, 1B.
And that's fine. And Wiggy said the same thing.
Or 2A, like, and 2B.
They're kind of in their own category. And then Burrow's underneath that. Like,
I agree with that.
Lamar Jackson has a 75% win percentage in the NFL. 75%. Joe Burrow's at 55. He's 38-30 in his career.
To me, the biggest thing about all these quarterbacks that we're talking about, if TC's going to use that argument of he hasn't won anything, MVPs are great, but they're not championships, and that's what people remember, is nobody wins anything because of freaking
Mahomes. Exactly.
So you have to at least give Jalen Hurts credit for winning.
100%. Like, and it's just...
And Burrow, I know Burrow has beat Mahomes head-to-head, but he still hasn't won his Super Bowl. So
no.
It's a different conversation.
And I mean, like, Lamar Jackson is a, what, three-time AP All-Pro quarterback, number one quarterback. Last year, he was the AP number one first team quarterback, all NFL. And Joe Burrow wasn't even
all the decorations considered. Aside. Like, who cares? Watch the game,
Lamar.
If you're gonna say like you're in the backyard picking out your quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson is gonna be one of the first three quarterbacks you take.
He is the first one. Like, Joe Burrow's throwing a Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins on a regular basis. Lamar Jackson's best receiver has been Mark Andrews, and he wasn't even that good last year. Like, his best receiver last year was Zay Flowers, and Lamar Jackson threw two less touchdown passes last
year.
Fewer.
Sorry.
Two fewer touchdown passes.
AP style now. They're technically interchangeable.
Oh, okay.
You can say less or fewer, but it drives me crazy. It makes my ears bleed when I hear people say
two
that.
Fewer touchdowns than Joe Burrow last year. Like, it's remarkable to me the way in which people put down Lamar Jackson, who's arguably the most talented quarterback in football.
What is the text line talking about? A North End billboard? Is there a notable billboard in the North End right now?
I don't know. Does Greg have a billboard in the North End?
I don't know. Are there billboards in the North End? I don't really think about that.
I don't know. I haven't been to the North End in quite a long time.
It's not a good time. It's not a good time of year to go because those Italian feasts are super fun.
Ooh.
But that place is packed. The tourists are overwhelming.
Well, I apologize for our detour there into Lamar Jackson land.
Oh, my God.
Is there a big billboard?
Have you seen this billboard thing?
No. What is it? Let me see.
There's a North End billboard mystery. This is from NBC
billboard
10.
Billboard mystery?
Yeah, okay. Says there's a new a competition may be brewing between two Boston neighborhoods. This is from NBC 10 Boston. A new sign perched high atop the historic North End carries a cheeky message from its newer neighbor. The sign says, quote, "Hey North End, wanna come over? XO Seaport. PS, bring some cannoli."
What? They trying to drive people to the seaport? I don't think they need signs to do that.
So they're trying to get the they're trying to get the tourists from the North End over to the seaport? I don't get that.
I don't either.
The seaport is just an outdoor mall. I mean, let's call it what it is. They want to build an outdoor mall around Fenway Park. The seaport's already that.
Should move Fenway Park over there.
I'm not a big fan. I got to be honest.
To be completely candid, I'd rarely go into the city.
I feel like going to the seaport is the same, all due respect, as going to Legacy Place in Dedham. And I like Legacy Place in Dedham. What? There's great restaurants there.
Oh, you're
what
great
do you mean,
restaurants.
Ouch? It's like the same thing as the seaport, truly, except it's easier to park at Legacy Place because they have a big parking
true.
Garage.
Very easy to park.
But that's Legacy what place. It is.
And you're right, very close to Topgolf from Legacy Place. And there's a Mary Lou's Coffee right around the corner.
Okay. Are we saying...
Now we're cooking.
Legacy Place in Legacy Place in Dedham greater than Boston Seaport.
Oof.
Seaport in the winter also drives me freaking crazy. I know Greg does all his early morning walks.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the wind coming off that water in the winter just makes me miserable.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's horrible. I don't like that neighborhood. I'm a Southie Dorchester person.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not even a neighborhood. They don't have a library, Shime.
Yeah, that's tough.
Think about that. It's a full neighborhood that was built up in Boston over 15 years, and they don't have a library. They don't have places for people to vote. It's an outdoor mall. It's an outdoor mall.
Man. Greg would not love this conversation. He'd be very mad at you.
Why?
Because
there's great restaurants there?
I don't know. He loves the seaport.
Yeah, I think that he has an incredible lifestyle in the seaport. But if you're like, I'm going to live in the city and I want to try to like raise a family in the city, first of all, congratulations.
Good
luck. You're a multimillionaire. But second of all, the seaport is like brutal. They have that wonderful Martin Richards playground. My friend used to take her kids over there because she lived in Fort Point for a little bit. And that's beautiful. Like, Children's Museum is awesome. Other than that, the seaport is just Peloton coffee shop that is a chain that is at Legacy Place, store that's a chain that's at Legacy Place, store that's a chain that's at Legacy Place, store that's a chain that's at Legacy Place, overpriced stupid club for 21-year-olds.
Impossible to park.
And a movie theater. That's what the neighborhood is.
Oh, there you go. You heard it here first, folks. Mego, Legacy Place, carrot sign facing Legacy Place over the seaport.
Now, if you're asking me seaport or North End, I'm going North End all day and all night. 1,000%.
Me too.
The Italian food's so good.
But
just the food in general is just good.
Both neighborhoods, massive pain in the butt.
When I used to bop over to the North End quite a bit, there was this small little like Italian market. Just the best subs. I don't even remember what the name of it was. I just would walk in.
Dino's.
Like, I want one of that. Maybe. I couldn't tell you.
You could just make that up and tell me that Dino's is a market in North End. Just say like an Italian name. You could be like, oh yeah, Ottolini's. And I'd be like, oh, cool. I don't know. Any place that I go to in the North End, because I don't go there frequently, I'm just like at the mercy of whatever is open and you can walk into.
They also had like deli cheeses, just every cheese you can imagine. And
I will say,
for someone who's a big cheese guy,
one extremely annoying thing, because I went out with a couple of friends. I was filling in on the afternoon show the next day, and I went out with a bunch of friends like for happy hour if it existed in this Puritan state. And we were trying to find a place for like four people to get a drink. And I had to go through three different establishments that were asking for reservations to sit at the bar.
Damn.
I was like, we are just looking for bar seats just to sit. And they're like, yeah, there's a reservation system. Reservations for the bar here, reservations for the bar here, reservations for the bar
That's
here.
That's brutal.
We went to another place and they said the bar is full. It's first come, first serve. And we said, oh, can we go like stand and wait for someone to get up? And they said, there's no standing allowed. There's no standing allowed at the bar?
Hey, man. I don't know. That's nuts. That's insane.
Terrible.
You can't just like stand and wait for somebody to get up?
Exactly. I'm like, so you just have to walk in at exactly the right time as someone's getting up from the seat.
Just get lucky? Can I just stand outside and watch through the window?
We basically had to sneak into a bar and like sit down at a table, and they came over and said, hey, this table has a reservation for an hour from now. And we were like, we will get up within the hour, we promise.
Good Lord.
Just let us get a drink. Let us pay you, please.
617-779-7937. Mego and Shy, I'm here. One more quick segment to go. I promise we'll actually talk Patriots in this one. We got a little distracted there, but we'll be right back. Mego and Shy, I'm here on Boston Sports Original. Just a few more minutes to go before we head over to Rob Bradford. And baseball isn't boring ahead of the Boston Red Sox late afternoon game against the Houston Astros. First pitch, 4:10, right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. But Mego, one of the things we've mentioned a little bit here and there, but haven't really dove into, is the idea that Terry McLaurin, receiver for the Washington Commanders, may be available for the New England Patriots via trade. He has requested a trade from the team at this current time. I know that aggravates you a little bit, upsets you a little bit, but do you think the Patriots, A, can make a move for him, and B, will they make a move for him?
I don't think they can, because I think Washington is ultimately going to give him the contract. I don't know why they're making it so difficult. I don't understand what's going on in the NFC East with their talent. That Micah Parsons is going through a similar thing with the Cowboys. I think that
he seems more out than McLaurin.
That it's even less realistic to think that Parsons would come here versus McLaurin. But I've been on the record with these things in the past and been quite wrong. So I'm not going to say like it's not going to happen. I just think that it has typically trended towards these wide receivers getting their deals with their teams. And with McLaurin, like, to me, the biggest question there is Jaden Daniels not in a spot to say something, like, as a second-year quarterback? Because you got to think that he really wants McLaurin to stay there. If there was any opportunity to get him, and I'm the Patriots, I'd give up a second. I'd give up a player. I'd give up a Kendrick Bourne if he's not really injured. I'd give up a Kayshon Booty.
I would even give up a future third. If they countered you, like say you offered a second, just straight up. If they countered you and said, no, we also want Pop Douglas. Pop Douglas and a second for Terry McLaurin. Who says no first?
Pop Douglas is really like the hinge there. That's interesting. I think I would for Terry.
I would. 100% I would.
Douglas is younger and he's a proven slot player, but it's so much harder to find an X.
He's a legitimate 1,000-yard receiver. He's had it 5 straight years, would have had it his rookie year, I think, if he had played every game. He was on pace. He had like 900 yards. So this is a guy who will go out and get you 1,000 yards almost guaranteed. And a guy like Terry McLaurin makes Steph Diggs so much more valuable, because then Terry McLaurin is going to draw a lot of that double coverage. It's going to open up things for Steph Diggs a little bit. It's going to allow him to do what he was doing in Houston prior to getting injured.
And I guess, like, I really like Douglas, and I think he's having a great camp. But you also have a lot of players who can play in the slot.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's much harder.
An easier transition for Kyle Williams.
For whatever reason, it's much harder for the Patriots to find an X receiver than to find somebody in that slot. So
yeah,
I'm not as worried about that.
But I guess,
I don't think it's going to happen. You're probably right.
I hope.
Just wishful thinking as a Commanders fan, because I absolutely adore Terry McLaurin as a player and as a person. I just think that with these receivers, they typically work it out.
They generally do. I think the last three that have requested trades all ended up getting long-term deals with the team.
Maybe this one will prove the rule.
Maybe. Thanks so much for tuning in on this wonderful Saturday. I hope you enjoy the rest of the afternoon. If you're out and about or you just want to download the Odyssey app, AUDACY, you can take us wherever you go. You can hit the rewind feature if you want to go back and listen to our hour one of Mego and Shime talking about the Boston Red Sox, their lack of moves at the deadline, or you can just keep it locked right here as Rob Bradford hops on with Baseball Isn't Boring. He'll give you all the Sox content you can want ahead of the Red Sox game against the Houston Astros this afternoon at 4:10 right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Mego, great job. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next Saturday. See ya.